Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel, but love me.
It's Thursday, September 1st, 2011. Now I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word, talking about the partial kingdom today. Now, the Bible records how God's promises to Abraham are partially fulfilled in the history of Israel. It starts out with what we call the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham had Isaac. Now, at one point, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Abraham trusted God, but God stopped him at the last minute, and Abraham sacrificed a ram instead. The son was spared that day, but there was coming a day when the son, Jesus, would not be spared. Now, Isaac had Jacob, and God told Jacob that kings would come from his own body. And what we'll see is that through the line of Jacob, there will come a baby born in a manger named Jesus, the King of Kings. And Jacob had 12 sons. One of those sons was Joseph. Joseph had a dream one day, and he told his dad and brothers about it. He said, "Hey guys, y'all are going to bow down to me one day." All right. His brothers didn't like it. They decided they were going to kill him, but ended up selling him into slavery. And so Joseph began a journey that seemed like God just had deserted him. But little did he know, God was putting him in the appropriate place in order to meet the right person who knew the right person. And so through providential acts, Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man. It was all because of a dream he interpreted for Pharaoh. Ultimately, it saved his brothers from dying in a famine and allowed his family to settle in Egypt. It's a picture of Jesus saving his brothers who sought to kill him. Years pass, Joseph dies, and there arises a new king of Egypt that didn't know Joseph. At this point, the people of Israel had become so numerous that this Pharaoh was threatened by the Israelites. So he oppressed them and made them his slaves. The Lord calls out a guy named Moses through a burning bush. God sent 10 plagues on the people of Israel, and on the last one, he said, "Firstborn son, dead. Every firstborn son is going to die." But the Israelites had the inside track. God said, all the families who would take a lamb and kill it and smear the blood over the doorpost of the home, God would pass over their home and spare the son as they found refuge under the blood of the lamb. All right, that's known as the Passover. And there was coming a time when the Lamb of God, Jesus, would be killed and the people of God could hide under his blood and find refuge for all time. Then the Israelites fled Egypt with the Egyptian army on their tail. It looked like they had no hope when they got to the banks of the Red Sea, but God parted the waters, and Israel made it to the other side safely while the entire Egyptian army was drowned. So through the parting of the Red Sea, Moses leads the Hebrews out of slavery and bondage to Egypt into the freedom of following God. That's the same thing that happens with Christ's followers. We come out of slavery and bondage to sin into the freedom of following God. And God gives them the law. God's presence is seen in the tabernacle, which is God's portable dwelling place. And then Moses dies, and under the leadership of Joshua, the people enter the promised land, the land of Canaan, where they are ruled for a while by judges. But the people want a king. So Saul became the first king. Then the kingdom experienced its pinnacle, enjoying peace and prosperity under the reign of the second king, David, and later his son Solomon. This was the high point of the history of Israel. King Solomon builds a temple, which is where God's presence is seen during this era in the biblical timeline. So here's the picture. Israel was God's people in God's place, the land of Canaan, under God's rule and therefore enjoying his blessing. But the promises to Abraham had still not been completely fulfilled. The problem was sin, the continual disobedience of the people of Israel. That was soon to lead to the dismantling of the partial kingdom as Israel fell apart. Listen to what Von Roberts says. "It is all so sad, but it is not the end of the Bible story. God's work among the Israelites was never intended to be the final fulfillment of his gospel promises. Within the context of the Bible as a whole, the history of Israel serves as a model. Like a model airplane, it's very impressive, but it's not the real thing. It points to something bigger and better, the airplane itself. In a similar way, the partial kingdom is just a shadow of the perfect kingdom that God will establish through Jesus Christ. It points beyond itself to him. Yes, it was great for the Israelites to be rescued from slavery to the Egyptians, but that rescue is just a pale shadow of the perfect redemption achieved by Jesus on the cross. Yes, it was wonderful for the Israelites to have God's presence in their midst in the tabernacle and the temple, but those structures were just shadows of the one in whom the presence of God was perfectly manifest. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling," or tabernacled, "among us." And yes, David and Solomon were great kings, but Jesus is far greater. God may have rejected his model, but he has not forgotten his promises. As we will see in the next chapter of the storyline of redemption, it is the role of the prophets to explain that great truth. They stress that the decline of Israel and Judah is not out of God's control. He is at work dismantling the model, because of the sin of his people. But that is not the end. God will never rebuild the model again, but he will establish the real thing in and through Jesus. Let us treasure this real thing, Jesus Christ, and in so doing, magnify his name in all the earth. Now, on Fridays at the First Baptist Daily, we'll take one of your questions. If you ever have a question for the First Baptist Daily, please send it to ben@fbcenterprise.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/jbenbowden. Now, tomorrow's question reads, "As I've worked with high school girls, the question has frequently come up, do suicide victims go to heaven?" We're going to take a look at that biblically tomorrow when we meet again on the First Baptist Daily.